Well, good morning. This is January 10th, 2021. And I'll begin by talking to any kids that are listening. I'll be speaking this morning about how wonderful it is to have rest. And that may sound pretty boring to you. Sometimes as older people, we say that when we get to heaven, we can sleep for a million years. And heaven doesn't sound nearly as exciting as Disney World. But let me change one word. Let me change the Sabbath from rest to peace. And even you need to experience peace. We live in a world that is unstable and uncertain. We don't understand what is happening. And sometimes we can become very anxious. But God has promised us His Sabbath or His peace. Now, let me talk about one more word. Let's talk about the word sanctuary. The word sanctuary really means a holy place. And yet, it's not only where we come to church, but right outside Greenville, just a few miles outside Greenville, is the Lake Conestoga Park National Preserve. There are about 400 acres have been set apart as a sanctuary for wildlife. I guess there's over 220 different species of birds there. Well, that's a safe place for wildlife. It's a place where we don't go to work, but where everything is protected and allowed to rest. And so I want you to think of Leesville Church as a sanctuary, a safe place where you're protected and where you can find peace. Well, let's pray this morning, and let me share with you a couple of concerns within our church family. Mary Myers shared that her cancer levels rose instead of declined for the month of December. Now, from July to November, they were declining, and her doctor says that this trend sometimes occurs, and so we want to pray with Mary that this trend will reverse and go the other way, that the chemo will continue to contain and kill her cancer. Mary has reduced her teaching load from 12 hours to 9 hours this semester, and she appreciates our prayers, and we want to just pray that God will help her through this difficult time. Now, we also want to pray for Phyllis and her sister Ramona. They have a brother, Kenny, who was unhooked from his ventilator a week ago. He's still living. He's in hospice and is not projected to last much longer. And so as you think of Phyllis and Ramona and Kenny, who may be gone by the time you hear this recording, we want to pray for the family. Now, I want us to turn to Genesis, the second chapter. And before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will protect us from the COVID virus. Lord, you told us in 2 Timothy 2 to pray for our political leaders and to pray that we will live in peace. And so we do pray for peace. We pray for healing. We pray for your guidance and presence in this new year. Thank you that Chuck got good news recently, and I pray that Mary will get the good news. We pray that you'll sustain Phyllis and Ramona and their family in this time of loss for them. Lord, teach us from your word this morning and prepare us for another week of life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 really is a carryover from the first chapter. Let me read the first three verses as our starting point. Genesis chapter 2, and I'm beginning at verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Well, there may be as much controversy over the first chapters of the Bible as there are over the last chapters of the Bible. You know, Revelation is a controversial book, but so are the opening chapters of Genesis. We have as many unanswered questions about the past as we do about the future. And I'm not here to lecture, and I don't have to explain all of the controversies surrounding Genesis chapters 1 through 3, but I do know that I'm speaking to an audience that's educated and capable of critical thinking. I'm not intending to devote hours to refuting the theory of evolution. I'm simply relying on a straightforward reading of the text and the author's intent. There are scholars that have suggested that we should insert a gap of millions of years between the first verse in chapter 1 and the second verse in chapter 1. But you would never see that there was a millions of years gap in the between those two verses unless you heard their special pleadings. Of course, it's also been popular to define the 6 days in chapter 1 as lasting for millions of years. This is often called theistic evolution. That understanding says that God launched the process of creation, but allowed it to proceed through the process of evolution. Well, I will show you this morning that may not be the best interpretation, but neither is it the worst. The worst position is to claim that the world evolved spontaneously through random chance without God. Somehow, we have to acknowledge God. Actually, however, I'm not going to hang up on the time element so much, because God did not need 6 literal days any more than he needed 3.5 billion years. God could have created the whole cosmos at the snap of his finger with one fiat decree. So why did God take a full week when he could have done it instantaneously? Well, God took a full week in order to establish this weekly pattern for us. We're told that in Exodus chapter 20, and I'll begin reading at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now, again, I'm saying God didn't need 144 actual clock hours to create this world any more than he needed an actual 24 hours to rest because of his great exhaustion. God has so much tremendous power that he could have created in a split second without being exhausted. But the fact is, God knew that we could not go on without rest. And so if we do not stop and rest, he knows there will be consequences. The word Sabbath really doesn't mean seventh, but instead it means rest. And so God is establishing this pattern for us. We work for 6 days, that's the normal weekly cycle, but then there's one day that is separated or sanctified or set apart. That's the best day of the week, and that's the day we ought to anticipate. However, when I was a child, taking a nap on Sunday afternoon felt like punishment. I used to plead with my mother, do I have to? Well, today it feels heavenly. But you see, the Sabbath was not intended to be a straitjacket. The Sabbath was not intended to be enforced by rules and regulations. Jesus explained in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Sabbath was made for our benefit. Here's the language. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is declaring that the Sabbath was made for our good and that we are more important. We have priority over the Sabbath. But Jesus also claimed in the following statement, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He claimed there that he had authority to reform the Sabbath. You see, by his day and shortly afterwards, the Jews had created such a protection. They were so deathly afraid that they might break the Sabbath that they created a wall around it so they couldn't even get close enough to break it. They had literature later on called the Talmud, and 24 chapters in the Talmud are do's and don'ts of what you can do on the Sabbath day. It had become a bondage to them. And yet Isaiah, looking forward to the new covenant, Isaiah said the Sabbath should be anticipated as a delight. If you dread Sunday, you're keeping it wrongly. We should look forward to the Sabbath. And so I'm in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, let me just unpack a couple of word pictures there. If you're riding on the heights, you are above the reach of danger. And Sabbath worship should lift us above earthly difficulty. It should be a time of feasting. And here it says, feasting on your inheritance. Well, the inheritance given to the Jews was through their father Jacob, and it was the land of Palestine. God had given them land, thus they were landowners and not slaves. And so, do you see, when the Sabbath is misinterpreted, it enslaves us. But when the Sabbath is properly observed, it frees us. It is a feast, and we're feasting on the fruit of our own land. All I'm contending for is that Sunday should be special and set apart. We ought to look forward to assembling together. While the pattern has changed under the new covenant, the principle of rest has not been abolished. And the verse that's so important here, Hebrews 4:9, literally says this, there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. God intends us to keep his Sabbath, not through legalistic bondage, but through liberating joy and worship and delight and feasting. Now, say it in a negative sense, you really don't break the law of gravity. Let's say you're on a three-story building and you jump off. Do you break the law of gravity? No, the law of gravity is intact. You broke your arm. And so, in a similar sense, we don't break the Sabbath, but we, in fact, will break if we don't stop and rest. God made us, and essentially the Bible is our owner's manual, and the owner's manual warns us, don't keep going and going and going and going. You have to take a break. And so we pause and take this break, first of all, as an act of obedience. Now, many times we want to make an excuse. And many times I'm tempted to say, well, God, just let me finish one more project and then I'll rest. Well, the danger is that we never get finished and we work ourselves to death. And so we should frequently pause. Even though I am not finished, I am to pause during this Sabbath time as an act of faith that when I pick up again on Monday, God will help me do what needs to be done. And so God intentionally set a paradigm, set a pattern for us to follow. And Jesus gives us this call in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus promises rest for everyone who is stressed, for everyone who is anxious, bewildered, overwhelmed. Claim that verse. If you have to, get a note card and write out the wording of Matthew 11:28. And let's trust God to give us rest. Rest from what? Well, initially, it's rest from the bondage and guilt of sin. But even after we're saved, there's something within us that keeps pulling us the wrong way. And just the tension between what we want and what we ought to do sometimes wears us out. God also gives us rest from the nature of sin. God can cleanse us from that nature of sin and give us a rest. God has also given us a day of rest. And ultimately, God will give us eternal rest. Those of our members who we have lost over the last year, they are now with the Lord. And in the book of Revelation, it says they do rest from their labors. Well, it's not boring in heaven. It's exciting in heaven. But they're resting from all of the things that stress us out. God promises rest for us now and even greater rest for us in the tomorrows of life. And so don't shortchange yourself, but receive the rest that God has for His people. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we know there is concern internationally. There's concern at our national level. There's concern even in our own community with higher numbers. And yes, we are concerned, but Lord, give us peace. Give us a supernatural sense of rest, even as we prepare for tomorrow, and in some cases not knowing whether it's going to be live or virtual or how it's going to happen. Give us a sense of peace that you already know, and that if we'll rest in you today, you'll help us through tomorrow. And so I pray that you'll give us a good week and a good 2021. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.